Hi, friends. You are about to listen to our series with Dan Butler on his book, Permission to Be Great. Now, during the edits, we realized we did not let you know where you can find information on Dan. So we wanted to do that now. Dan's website is www.danpbutler.com, and he can be found on Twitter at Dan P. Butler. His book can easily be found on Amazon or through Dan's website. Final note, I do apologize for the fact that our audio during this series sounds as though we recorded it in an empty auditorium. We played around with our technology to get three mics going, and I must have missed something somewhere. Enough with that, here is the show.
Welcome to the School Talk Podcast. I'm Greg Devlin. Sitting across from me is Jenny J. Hill Hillebrand. And this is the podcast where Jenny and I get together and talk all things school related. Jenny, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing because this is literally the fourth episode we've recorded today. So let's just jump right in.
That sounds good.
Because nothing has changed. You're still sitting there?
I am.
You must be cold because you put
a
coat on.
I am excited to be back. We are on episode 4 of a series with Dan Butler, building principal at Epworth Elementary, on his new book called Permission to Be Great, Increasing Engagement in Your School. The past 3 episodes, we've talked about the problem with the idea of burnout in the field of education. We've talked about balancing workload, control, and autonomy. In our last episode, we talked about practicing ERA, which is encouragement, recognition, and appreciation. And today, we're going to sit with Dan, and we're going to talk about building community and relationships. Dan kind of talked about this before we started recording, saying that this isn't a fluffy topic. You know, like this is a real topic that we need to really think about how we build community and how we build strong relationships. So, Dan, how are you? Let's get started.
Doing great. I'm doing great. Yeah. So when we talk about building community and relationships, we know that social investment, social connections are the strongest predictor of success within our settings. All right. There's plenty of science to support that. And positive relationships matter. And I think many times when we think about positive relationships, our mind goes to rainbows and unicorns and fluffy things, and everybody's happy all of the time, which it's very important that we are happy within our jobs. There's no question about that. However, we want to make sure that that's authentic and the connections and the relationships that we have are genuine and they are authentic. And some of the things that go into that in order to have that level of authenticity is something that might get a bad name, but I think is incredibly important. And that's the topic of just vulnerability and being vulnerable with each other. So like when I think about vulnerability, I think about, you know, being okay with shortcomings, addressing difficult topics when I don't know what the outcome's going to be, being okay with asking for help, being okay to admit that I don't have the answer and I need some support here. Being okay with saying, you know, I'm not feeling it today. I'm in need of some support. So I think you'll hear me say, if you do read the book, is we think that like, okay, as a leader, we think that I need to build trust first, all right? I'm going to build trust with my people, then I'll let my guard down and I will be vulnerable, but only when I build trust first. Well, I think that's exactly opposite. I think we're vulnerable first, which ultimately leads to trust. I'm letting my guard down first and saying, listen, I need your support. I need your help. I don't have all the answers. That leads to trust. When you have that trust, that leads to those positive, genuine, authentic relationships. And when you have that, the sky is the limit.
So you took that right out of my mouth. That's where I was going, was that the whole idea of we're waiting to be vulnerable because we say, like, well, I don't trust them. They might say this or they might do that. Where It's actually the opposite is true. And we did a whole episode on this in our team building episode, Jenny, where trust is a byproduct of being vulnerable.
Absolutely. Vulnerability precedes trust. And, you know, there's plenty of evidence to support that. And I'm no expert, but, you know, Brené Brown, Daniel Coyle, Pat Lencioni, Jim Knight, these people that are a lot smarter than I am would say the exact same thing. And in my experiences, that's how it works. I show people who I am as a leader, what's deep within my core, what I bleed for, what I will literally die on a hill for. And I reveal that to people with, you know, I could be let down. That could lead to some things like, oh my gosh, now that I know that, I don't know about this or whatever. But being vulnerable, once people see that, they see you bleed a little bit, you build that trust, and then that trust comes in, and that's where that genuine relationship is formed.
I think it kind of goes back to, I guess, when I listen to you talk about this topic of vulnerability, I think, again, it's allowing people to see you be human, that you're not the person with all of the answers, you're not the person that is the expert on anything, that, you know, we are vulnerable in what we say or how we handle a situation or how we work through a problem, but also knowing that we can do hard things and we can have difficult conversations if need be, you know, in building that community and building that relationship. I guess I just think too, again, we're allowing people to see the human side of us. And when I say that, I don't mean like, put that.
Well, you probably don't want to go like share your deepest, darkest secret.
Right.
And make it real awkward.
Yes, I do. No. No.
But if it's something like, I think all the time where it's like, if I'm supposed to do something, and I just had this happen the other day where I told some teachers, hey, next time we meet, I'm going to bring this to the table for us to discuss. I'm going to look for these activities we can do with some math kiddos. And it wasn't where I thought it was going to be. It wasn't laid out how I thought it was. And rather than like making an excuse, I just said like, guys, like I didn't get this yet. Where I thought it was wasn't there. It's like, I'm going to find it, but I just don't have it right now. So like that took a little of me being vulnerable as opposed to saying like making up some excuse or just going in and like BSing with some things that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yep. And I think I'm going to kind of go piggyback off of that. You know, as a first year administrator, there are lots of things that I don't know yet or haven't had the experience of working through. And, you know, I think having the team or having those people that you can fall back on or rely on to help you through those things. Like, you know, Dan, you helped me through a couple situations already this school year where, you know, it was hard for me to make that phone call because I did feel like, oh, I feel like I should know how to handle this, or I feel like I should know what to do in this situation, but I didn't. And instead of messing up the situation or making it worse or potentially not dealing with it in the way that it needed to be, I had to call and I had to admit that, Dan, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. And that is so hard, but yet moving forward, I think that helped me with that, because that level of trust, even with you as a colleague, as a principal to principal now, like that's a different relationship that, you know, you're working to build. So
absolutely. Just think about this pandemic. And like, think about all the situations that have been thrown our way over the past, you know, couple of years. And I think we've had a certain level of success within our district because we've taken the approach of, I don't know what this is going to look like. Insert whatever it is at this time. I don't know what this or it is going to look like. Here's what I do know. We're going to make the best decision that we can for our students. We're going to make the best decision that we can for our team, for our teachers, for our staff. With those things in mind, that very broad scope, I need your help to make this work. I can't tell you how many times I framed a problem that way. And we came out with what I feel is something pretty damn good. Whether that was a virtual plan of instruction, whether that was a plan for what we were going to do on Fridays when we were not in school, whether that was a delivery system that we were going to get materials to our families that were not able to come to school with instructional materials or whatever. Just breaking it down and saying, listen, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I need your help. That was amazing because it allowed people around me to just rally together in the amount of trust that we built. It was kind of this mantra of like, man, we're all in it together. We got this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we got this.
As quirky as it sounds, I do feel like those who have gone through the last year together in probably whatever place in Plymouth, but like especially school because it's so hard, a special bond was formed there where it's like, there's no way to replicate what happened. Like, we all went through a bunch of stuff and are coming out of that, hopefully, but like, that forced relationships to happen, that forced trust, that forced vulnerability, because no one knew.
Completely agree. And I would argue with that, that forced, those forced opportunities to be vulnerable where we had to, it just increased that level of trust and ultimately enhances the relationship.
In that chapter too, you also talk a little bit about pushing and pulling, Dan. And I think you even discuss a, I don't know if it's from a staff meeting or if it's actually in there, a picture of one of your sons on the high dive at swimming lessons, which I think illustrates push and pull perfectly. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So my son Mason, he's now just about 12. Well, by the time of the release of the show, he will be 12. So this would have been 8 years ago. He was in four-year-old swimming lessons. And one of the things, I don't know if you're familiar with our community, is there's the infamous diving board lesson where your child has to go to the edge of the diving board and they are tasked with jumping into the deep end on their own. Now, there are kids that I've seen, and I've seen, I have two boys that have gone through this. One of my boys ran up there like an exuberant dog, jumps right off, boom, he's in the water, don't even look at it, whatever, he's gone. Well, Mason, my timid 12-year-old, he had behind him
a... He wasn't 12 at the time.
He was 4.
Okay. I'm just trying to do Mason a solid if he's ever listening.
Mason's going to listen to this and be like, what?
So there's this picture of Mason when he's 4 that I took, and behind him is a lifeguard who's essentially pushing him off the board, because that's what they will do. If you won't go on your own, boom, they're going to push you off. But it's so, the image is just, it's pretty awesome because the lifeguard's behind pushing. But then in the deep end of the pool, there's a male lifeguard, and he's waiting with like open arms of like, I'm going to take care of you.
Down
okay?
in the pool.
He's in the pool. Yep. Waiting for those kids that are just a little bit timid to be pushed off the board. He's waiting to save them. So when I think about push and pull, I think that's such a metaphor for leadership. Is we need both lifeguards in our world. We need that person behind us that's going to push us. That, man, I don't want to experience that new change. I don't want to look at this new delivery system. I don't want to look at this new MTSS model, this progress monitoring tool, this new level of guided reading instruction, whatever. Insert initiative, insert strategy right there, right? I don't want to do that because I'm scared. Okay. You need that person behind you to push. However, you also need that safety net of that male lifeguard willing to catch you in the deep end and not just, yep, I'm going to push you, throw you into the deep end, good luck. It doesn't work that way. You have to have both. And there's a balance of that push and pull. And I think it works the same way within relationships. We can't always be agreeable on what's best. There's going to have to be some healthy conflict that's going to need to occur. And we always say this, Greg's heard this ad nauseum, I'm sure Jenny has this as well over the years, is like, we're going to be hard on the issue, we're going to be easy on the people, right? Because when we're going to attack issues, we want the best outcome for our students, for our staff, for our overall environment, right? And but we're going to take it easy on the people, we're going to be hard on the issue. But I do think a matter of that push and pull comes into play, and it kind of comes down to, in certain circumstances, we've got to tell people what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear in all circumstances.
And the thing is, too, if we aren't hard on the issue and we don't have those conversations, eventually the conversation shifts and now it's a conflict between people as opposed to around the issue. So I think that's incredibly powerful to like, yeah, it's like this conversation has to be had because if it's not, eventually now it's going to be strife between people and the issue is going to be way behind and that's not even going to get addressed because you have conflict between the people.
There's a quote that I used to have up in my office, and it was, you promote what you permit, and you permit what you promote. And I think that goes down along with that whole idea that, so when you think about that, you know, it's that we're promoting whatever it is that we're doing. It's the MTSS that, you know, we need to promote that. So if you're permitting some people to do things one way and not the other way, that's what you're promoting. So it's really kind of going back to that, what we promote is what we're permitting. So we need to promote the things and make sure that we are providing the supports for the success of, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. And that also means, yeah, making sure that people are hearing maybe what they don't want to hear, but what they need to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an important thing, because if we're just burying the issue and pretending that things don't exist because we want to, air quote, like, protect the relationship, we're not doing anybody any favors. And in fact, that's when it does start to get personal and people start to build resentment. Like, an obvious situation happened that, you know, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to that and it's going to get better. Well, guess what? It usually doesn't get better.
And now you just okayed it.
Correct. I'm now promoting that type of negative behavior, whatever that happens to be. So again, when those issues come up, and they will, daily, right? Sometimes we need to, in that process of being hard on the issue, people are going to hear some things maybe that they didn't want to, but they needed to. And I'm in that boat as well. And it's been pretty awesome where we've built some trust, I feel, within our building, within our district, where people, where I'm, quote, their boss, are coming to me and telling me, Dan, I'm telling you this because I care. And they may be telling me, you know, how you said this made me feel this way, or the way that I saw you react to this, I don't think it aligns with who you want to be, or whatever that happens to be. Is that stuff I want to hear? No. Is that something I need to hear? Absolutely. And it's not a personal attack. It's said out of love that they want me to be the best leader that I can be because I would expect the same of them.
I love, whenever I'm having a tough conversation, I often think of this. So the Puritans had this quote. It was basically, the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. And essentially what that is saying is, like, so our words being the sun, like, depending on where people are, we're either going to say stuff and it's going to, like, soften them to come around to whatever issue we're having, or it's going to harden them. But either way, like, that's not on us. So I thought of that a couple weeks ago. We had District PD and our presenters had some gut punches in there where it's just like, man, I even feel knocked out on some of my leadership approaches and stuff and what I pushed and so forth within this program she was talking about. And I had an opportunity there to, one, to either soften my heart to what she was saying and accept I could have done better, I could have done things differently, or I could harden myself and say, what does she know? She's not in the trenches. She just travels from building to building. She doesn't see real kids. I could have made those excuses. I'm sure people within that room of 200 people, there were people who had both reactions. Hardened hearts, softened hearts to what she was saying. She was just saying what we needed to hear. Her words didn't change from person to person, but where we were within hearing that was what made the difference. So it's like, sometimes we might have these difficult conversations with people, and it might end really awkward. It might not be all sunshine and rainbows. But that doesn't mean that the conversation you had shouldn't have been had.
Correct. Is it worth that 2 minutes of awkward to produce a better outcome for your school, for your district? And if we're attacking the issue and we're keeping people with their dignity, their respect intact, we really can't go wrong. And there might be some emotions, sure. But we've just got to be very mindful of, it's not personal. This is about producing better outcomes ultimately for our kids. And I think when thinking back to that presenter, anything she said, there were some definitely some gut punches there and kind of some reality checks. Like, ooh, I don't want to hear that right now. However, it wasn't personal. It's a fact. This is where we are. This is what you can do or whatever. And it causes some self-reflection to think about, what could I do better? So, I mean, I can choose to look out the window or I can choose to look in the mirror.
Sure. This is up
to me. But I love that everything that she said made us stop and think about what was best for kids, which at the end of the day, that's why we're here.
And I remember just last week, I had the opportunity to facilitate a book study with some teachers and like let off with a pretty vulnerable moment where it's like, I'm sharing, here's my why. And like, guys, like, you might not want to hear it, but like, there's days I don't want to read this book. I don't want to plan to facilitate this. I don't want to show up. Here's my purpose. Here's my why again. And even though them probably too saying the same thing, like, I don't want to be here right now. There's other things I want to do. 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. But we can have those tough conversations.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this episode. And like you said, Dan, that wasn't warm and fuzzy.
I'm a big relationship guy, right? Positive relationships matter. Building community matters a whole lot. However, I think we're doing a disservice if we're not addressing and being mindful of those challenging conversations that need to occur, those challenging situations, or spotting negative behavior and addressing that in the moment when it happens. If we're not mindful of those things and we're just pretending those exist, don't exist because we want to, air quote, protect the relationship, we're not doing anybody any favors. In fact, we're doing damage.
I remember probably a month after our Happiness Advantage training, sitting in your office and we were talking, and that's exactly what you said. Like, if all we get from this is we can feel warm and fuzzy, like we did everything wrong. We have to be okay having tough conversations with each other, holding each other accountable to doing the best we can. So as we wrap up this episode, next time we're focusing on values and fairness, and that'll be the last episode Dan is joining us for. If you'd like to learn anything more about our podcast or listen to past shows, the last three Dan were on, if this was your first one in this series that you listened to, check out our website, www.schooltalkpodcast.com. You can find all our past shows as well as social media links there. As we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do to make me a better version of myself? Maybe it's having a difficult conversation. Then do it, because greatness isn't achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps.
Hey, go be awesome.